Welcome to Shift with CJ. I'm your host CJ, and together we will explore the areas of health, human performance, biohacking, psychology, and much more that will inspire you to become the best version of yourself.
You know, growing up, me and my dad, we were fans of the Rocky movie. And you explain Rocky in a very different sense. We always thought it was about boxing. But what goes on in your mind when you think about Rocky?
First of all, there's the Rocky story itself, which is a man overcoming adversity. Just wanted that one shot against a champion in the world. It didn't matter if he was to win or lose. All he wanted to do was go the distance. Even if you don't quite make it, you know that you've done your best. It's over adversity, it's challenges in life, it's believing in yourself that no matter what anyone else says, you are going to make it in life.
There are going to be chances that you will always be the underdog. There will always be someone better than you, but it's that belief in yourself. So we talk about sales. How long have you been doing this? There is a traditional aspect to sales, and then there is probably a modern aspect to sales.
Because there's the journey, and then there's the vehicle that you're using to get to where you want to be. The vehicle is always changing, but the concept is really the same.
Why is it important for us to understand the person's problem in sales?
Because the problem is what you need to solve. And unless you can solve their problem, then they're not going to value you. You know, I learned a saying many, many years ago, features tell, benefits sell.
Mark Sclair, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad to have you. Now, Mark, there's something that I've been wanting to ask you for the longest period of time. Okay, ever since I started looking you up, looking at your content, looking at your YouTube. You know, growing up, me and my dad, we were fans of the Rocky movie. There weren't many options available. There was just Rocky, and we kept looking at Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3, and there were so many series, right? You made a bunch of YouTube videos,
yeah,
and you explain Rocky in a very different sense. We always thought it was about boxing, but what goes on in your mind when you think about Rocky?
So let me say, first of all, like, I've got a friend, and we were talking about Rocky. He said, I've never seen Rocky before. And I said, you never seen Rocky? He goes, yeah, I don't like boxing movies. And it got me so angry and frustrated because it's so much more than just a boxing movie. First of all, there's the Rocky story itself, which is a man overcoming adversity, just wanted that one shot against a champion in the world. It didn't matter if he was to win or lose. All he wanted to do was go the distance. You know, and if you look at that as a man of just wanting to give things a go, to have a chance in life, to get that opportunity, even if you don't quite make it, you know that you've done your best. So for that part of it, you know, when I'm watching those movies, oh my God, I just get such, even now I'm like, I'm buzzing. Yeah, because there's just so many times where he has to challenge himself and he doesn't believe he can do it. And then he has, you know, this wife with him as well, Adrian, who is just a beautiful soul. She helps him through it. His trainer helps him through it. All the people help him through it. So you can't go at it alone. As much as it is your job to get there, you need people around you that can support and guide you. But then, so that's the Rocky part. But then there's the whole Sylvester Stallone journey. Okay, so in the movie, there's a dog in there called Butkus. Okay, that is his dog in real life.
Oh, wow.
He had to sell that dog. Yeah, and he sold it to a guy in the streets, a random guy for like $50. That was his best friend because he had no money to eat. He believed so much that he can make a success of being in this movie or making a screenplay or being an actor. He believed in so much, he sold his dog. And like, the story is unbelievable. And Tony Robbins, and I've done it as well, but Tony Robbins tells a great story about it. And it's on YouTube, and I advise people to go and listen, either myself, either my one, or Tony Robbins. But he becomes a success by selling the script. People, not many people know this, but he was the director or the writer of Rocky. And he sold the screenplay or the script, and he ended up buying his dog back. Yeah. But not at $50. You know, it's been like thousands of dollars. And there's a guy in the movie who he sold the dog to who plays a part in the movie.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. So it's over adversity, it's challenges in life, it's believing in yourself that no matter what anyone else says, you are going to make it in life. Man, that's great.
That's interesting. And like, some of the thoughts that go in my mind is, when you look at Rocky, right? This guy is the underdog. And most of the times when you're starting your career or you're starting to get into the line, which is our main topic, sales and like selling something to someone, there are going to be chances that you will always be the underdog. There will always be someone better than you. They'll always have someone will have more offers than you. But it's that belief in yourself that, hey, despite of me being the new kid on the block or, you know, just being the underdog, I should have the chance to go till the end of the round or to the distance, like you said.
Yeah.
And this is really fascinating because a lot of the times we live in a culture where a lot of people make more excuses rather than taking actions. Mm. And this whole situation, if people start noticing this, this will be there in their life almost every month, every week, every day. Every time you're committed to doing something, you find a challenge and probably your mental dialogue is that, hey, I can't do it.
Mm.
But then what do you do about it? Do you still take the risk? Do you still say that, hey, maybe I don't know, but I learned. In the Rocky movie, there's also another interesting concept. He wasn't able to do it himself. So he had his trainer. I don't remember his name, but he had his trainer, which in today's world could be a mentor or could be a coach that you have to get onto your journey so that they can show you how to walk the same path or, you know, look at your blind spots. Because I think a lot of the times these days, you look around and we were talking this about a little bit about this offline. Like a lot of people are confident and they're confident in making statements, but they don't have any clarity.
Mm.
So they're just confident about everything. There's no clarity on how to achieve something or how to finish the project or how to deliver those certain things to the client. So I think this is also super interesting that, you know, you get to see these challenges every day. And like the moment I saw your video on YouTube, I'm like, oh my God, I need to ask this guy something. But also something else that you said, I believe that if you can do something and you don't do it, there's no problem. But if you can do something and you don't do it, then your life is going to be a disaster because this will start doing, this will in your brain encourage repeated patterns on things where you could do something, but because of, you know, laziness or because of being in the fear or because of being overwhelmed or whatever, you didn't take that step. Yeah. And then your brain is automatically going to take that pathway.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the main topic for today, right? Sales. Enough about Rocky.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talk about sales. How long have you been doing this? Tell the audience.
So I moved to the UAE in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about 16 years ago now. Mm-hmm. But before that, I was already in sales for about 5-6 years in total. So 20 plus years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we speak about 20 plus years. Is there a traditional way of sales? Because now, most times when we talk about concepts, people are like, oh, that's a traditional way of doing things and there's a new way of doing things.
Yeah.
Do you see, because you've been here, been in this industry for so long, that there is a traditional aspect to sales and then there is probably a modern aspect to sales?
I'd say there's a different, because there's the journey and then there's the vehicle that you're using to get to where you want to be.
Okay.
So those vehicles are always changing. So rather than a telephone, which was attached to a cord before, now you've got a mobile. Okay, rather than writing a letter, you've now got emails. So the vehicle is always changing, but the concept is really the same, which is, can I solve this person's problem? If I can, then I'm a value to that person. And it's up to me to demonstrate the value to somebody in all different ways. But along with that is seeing it from another person's perspective and understanding them. And this is where emotions comes into it, personality traits, how your body language, your tonality, your voice inflection, all of these parts are the core parts of selling. So it's not just the case of, and I hope you're not going to do it to me, is here's a pen, sell me this pen. You know,
you read my mind.
Here's a pen. You know,
here's a plant or here's a vase.
Well, this is it. And most people, they just start pitching. Like, we've got this unbelievable pen. It does amazing things. But the truth is, I need to know what's of value to you about that pen. If we use the pen analogy, okay? So I need to ask questions. And then I need to understand how to communicate with you and how to speak to you. And I need to understand who you are. And that comes with building on the conversation over time. And you start to build rapport, client starts to trust you a little bit more. And then before you know it, the person is buying from you.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, when they think about sales, probably people who are deep into the sales, they don't think about this. But the other side, which is the majority of us, we would think like, okay, sales means I have this item, I have a target, I have this list, and I need to start calling people and then making them understand that this is a piece of equipment or whatever. We need to sell this. Here's our offer. Do you want to buy it?
Mm.
This is the way a lot of people look at sales. But the way you describe sales, this is the pen analogy, right? Like telling features about this pen, making sure we knock on your door, all of that stuff. But the way you spoke about it, it's more like, you know, when a friend wants to advise you on something, they get in touch with you. They make sure they listen to you.
Mm.
They know your problem. I think this is really important. I would love for you to talk more about this.
Yeah.
Why is it important for us to understand the person's problem in sales?
Because the problem is what you need to solve. And unless you can solve their problem, then they're not going to value you. Otherwise, what are you there to do? You're not there to be their friend.
Mm-hmm.
You're not there to fill a space of an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That person has a challenge. That person is challenged in a way of they're down 30% in sales. The software that they're using, the user interface is horrendous to use. And that is causing people not want to go onto the system, which then means that people don't go onto the system, they don't log in, they don't log in data. That's a big, big problem.
Mm-hmm.
So if I come in and understand mm-hmm. on a level that that's a real challenge, and I can position my products in a way where actually, what do you think of this interface?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think of this CRM? Those parts of it, we go through that journey and they see that it's actually a really good interface to use.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience for the person using it is going to be a lot better. And what is the outcome from that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I learned a saying many, many years ago, features tell, benefits sell.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is everyone talks about features.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 24-hour service, username and password login.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, but what is the benefit
mm-hmm.
from having what you're offering?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it saves time, saves money, but that's surface level. And most conversations are surface level because you never get into it. People, they start asking questions, they're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking of what to say next.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not, if you're not listening, how can you dive deep into something? So somebody said, oh, we're facing this problem. Okay. And then I try to position the product because it shows that there's a problem here. But the truth is I should have gone deeper into it
mm-hmm.
and understood actually that's not the problem. They think they have that problem, but it's my job to actually make them aware that there's actually something else going on. And from my experience, people think it's this, but it tends to be this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a surface level person, salesperson, mm-hmm. and I can't dive deep. So I never get to that side. I'm only talking about that, and that's not the real problem.
Mm-hmm. So do you encourage for anyone who wants to understand sales better or people who are already into sales to A, listen more, and B, ask more questions to get to the deeper reasoning of what can we not see at the surface level?
Yeah. So first of all, we need to go on a journey of learning about what we're actually offering.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that comes from conversations with people, because I can read a textbook on a certain software, if we use a software example, but really that's not where I'm going to get my experience of understanding what this thing does. I need to speak to people that are actually using the system or have used it in the past, or they've heard something about it as well, because you may have a perception of how your product is in the market, but there's other people talking about it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be curious, and that's what I want to lead with. I'm not actually trying to sell to you at all. The goal is to sell, don't get mm-hmm. me wrong, but I really want to get a further understanding. Like, what has your experience been like?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're coming into this conversation with a whole different way of seeing what I'm offering
mm-hmm.
compared to what I'm trying to offer you. But I can't tell somebody how great we are.
Mm-hmm.
I have to show them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's through storytelling, that's through understanding them, and then giving them evidence
mm-hmm.
of work that we're able to deliver in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you take people on this journey as well and show them different aspects. I have this, I always tell people, like, if you did a PhD,
yeah,
and if you read all the books in the world on football or soccer,
okay,
and would you know how a ball acts in the real field if you never played it and you just learned everything from the textbook? No, the only way you can learn, or the only way you can have a best shot at it, is when you go and play football.
Yeah.
If you've never played football and you're just trying to look at the theory and like trying to make an argument, yes, it sounds good, but like you'll never get to the real situation, because for that, you need to be out there. You need to test things yourself.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times what happens is, I've met with a lot of salespeople. They would be selling something, but they don't really know what the product is all about. And they have this confirmation bias where either, like, you know, they've been appointed by a company, so they think this is the best product ever.
Yeah.
But like, when you actually take a deeper dive, they don't understand all these other aspects of the product itself. So I see that a lot of people, like, they don't know what they're selling.
No.
Do you see this quite often, like in like people that you train and companies that you work with? Is this a common recurring problem?
I see it a lot, but mm-hmm. then you ask yourself, is it a responsibility of the company or a responsibility of the employee?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that it's the responsibility of the company mm-hmm. to create an environment of learning.
Mm-hmm.
And the trouble is, a company, they go, oh, we want to give people, you know, 1 hour per day to do learning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then that hour comes up and they're like, no, get back on the phone. You've got to be selling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what you're saying is actually not what you're actioning.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the responsibility of the employee to be the best that they can be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the responsibility of the company to create an environment where they feel empowered
mm-hmm.
and they can grow because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the time, these people, salespeople,
mm-hmm.
they're on a journey of getting out there and calling people and speaking to people, but they're mm-hmm. just moving so quick.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really taking on board actually what's going on
mm-hmm.
and how this has actually benefited.
Mm-hmm.
After every meeting, after every call, I digest what somebody has said. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always happen at that moment. It could be 3 hours later when my brain is relaxing, when mm-hmm. we're giving it a moment, which we need to do, and something pops in and goes, oh, they meant it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that I'll use that for next time.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about practicing, yeah, they say practice makes perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but there's nothing more of a situation than actually being in a live situation. Because what I talk about is, like, your heart is beating differently, yeah? When you're at home and you're practicing, it's like calm, it's all right. But when you're in front of people, your heart is moving at 100 miles an hour,
mm.
which means you think differently, which means you're breathing differently, which means your body language is different. Everything is completely different. So, and there's a saying, it's not what you say, but how you say it. So I could deliver something now very, very quick and it doesn't connect. But if I calm it down, have a voice inflection, deliver the words the right way, and gives you time to process what I'm saying, it's going to connect with you better.
That's amazing. And I think a lot of people, like, we've all heard speeches, like some of the great speakers speak, and then we can connect with them very easily.
Mm.
And then we've all been in events where we've had some people speaking, but like the audience doesn't seem to connect with them.
Yeah.
And then if you look at these people backstage, they go through the same emotions that you're speaking about. And I'm sure, like, Tony Robbins and all of these guys at a high level, they also, their hearts are also beating faster. But they learn, or they have, through practice, they've learned a way to manage it. And they know how to kind of like get the audience's attention.
Yeah.
Get their interest, make them focus on the most important parts of their speech. And that's an art.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It comes with repetition,
mm-hmm.
doing it thousands of times
mm-hmm.
and or hundreds of times. And just when you're in that scenario, it doesn't matter that your heart is beating differently, because you've got the repetitions in, you've done the work, you've put the hours in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Brian Tracy, he says, I can't do the push-ups for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
You have to do the push-ups. If you mm-hmm. want to get fit, you want to get better at what you're doing, you have to put in the hours.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you're doing that, and it's really interesting. Again, I'm going on this journey at the moment of really, I've been doing sales for over 20 years,
mm-hmm.
but there's so much more that I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, it's the modern way, but still I want to learn about sales psychology more, mm-hmm. consumer behavior, mm-hmm. what drives people to make decisions. But how you look at how a situation happens is how you perceive it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I go up on stage. Yes, I'm nervous. Okay. But I love it. Someone else goes up on stage and they've got the fear of their life. They don't want to do it at all. Mm-hmm. Your body actually can't detect the difference between fear and excitement. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Hands are a bit sweaty, mm-hmm. pulse is racing, all of this. It's what you're telling yourself. Mm-hmm. It's what you're processing in your head. Mm-hmm. And if I have that internal discussion with myself and go, look, have I put in the repetitions? Mm-hmm. Have I put in the work? Have I done the best that I can do to get into this moment? Mm-hmm. And can I give value to people? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm nervous coming on here today, of course. You might grill me on something, and but if I'm leading with value, trying to have the way of trying to help and inspire others, that's what's motivating me. Mm-hmm. And if I say a word wrong or get it wrong, okay, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But I'm leading with value, my intentions are good, and I'm trying to be the best that I can be, helping others as well.
Amazing. I love it. So it's interesting that you said even after 20 years, you're looking at learning all these different human behaviors, psychology, all of these things. Can you share some of the recent learnings, or maybe over the past few years, in the domains of psychology, human behavior, and how could that relate to like sales?
Yeah, okay. So I've known this for a number of years, but I've kind of dived a little bit deeper into it. Okay, so if you're making an offer to a client, how many offers do you think you should make?
One.
Most people say that because you don't want to confuse the client, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to make an offer. This is exactly what you spoke about. Great, okay?
Per product.
Per product, yeah. Okay? Yeah, so there's one offer, okay? This is one event you can exhibit at. This is one software. That's it, okay? But what that person has is they have an option of yes or no. Mm-hmm. Yeah? They can say yes or no to this. Now, if I give an option of two, okay? Uh-huh. Yeah? The offer which I've made, the person is going to choose that one. And again, it varies from product to product, but that person is going to choose that one 20% of the time if I make it higher value than the other option. Mm-hmm. So 80% of the time, somebody is going to choose the cheaper option because it's the safer bet. Mm-hmm. Even if they realize that actually this is what they want, they're going to take a chance and they'll take it on the cheaper one. Mm-hmm. So 80% and 20%. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to throw a third option in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Because this is really where the sweet spot is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make you three offers now. Mm-hmm. And you'll see this with online subscriptions, online business models. Mm-hmm. They have these three options and they have one in the middle, which is like a little bit bigger. It's got a different color. Well, it depends how you want to do it. But a lot of people will say, hey, this is the premium one. Mm-hmm. Or this is exactly what you were looking for. Mm-hmm. From the two options, that one that was 20%, I put that in an option of three, that increases to 60%. Wow. 60%. Same offer, exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And all I've done is put a couple of decoys there, like you've said, stuff which is still of value to them, but they've got, oh, let me choose the cheaper one. Mm-hmm. But they think, well, it doesn't actually have everything I need. So it's kind of like, okay, it can do some stuff, but it's not going to give you everything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like with this podcast now, it's great that the filming's going on, but the real value is in the editing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what we need help with.
Yeah.
Yeah. The editing. So they can give you the hourly rate, come in, you film it, use your own phone if you want as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you could do that at home. Mm-hmm. The real value is in what these guys do behind the scenes, doing the editing. So they give you the option, but they go, actually, this is kind of what you need. Mm-hmm. And it increases from 20% to 60%.
You know, the initial studies, I mean, there are so many of them, but like on the decoy effect was done in the cinema industry. So they bought on, and it still is valid for anyone who's listening. If you go to a cinema anytime, just look at the popcorns there. Okay. So they had all of, I don't remember the numbers now, but basically you have the small popcorn, which is priced at X. And then you have the large popcorn, which is priced at Y. Most of the times people would select the small popcorn. But once you introduce a decoy option, which is like, let's say, for example, a big, large popcorn is 25 dirhams and you make a decoy option of popcorn, which is maybe 22 dirhams, which is a medium option, people perceive higher value and higher return on investment between the between those three dirhams, that middle popcorn was never an option. Like for those people, there was just a decoy. But because of our psychology, we see more value there and we always end up taking the large popcorn.
Yeah.
Unless you're on a diet.
Well, this is where persuasion comes in. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like you need to have somebody that feels like they're in control, but you're actually controlling the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that is why in an ethical way, mm-hmm. I have spoken with a client and we've got a full list of all of their requirements. Mm-hmm. And I've created a package like that. But perceived value is if I give one option, they're not going to see the full value.
Mm-hmm.
But if I create it in a way where the pricing is done and it drives them to the middle one,
mm-hmm.
they feel like they're in control, but you've actually guided them there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you've got control over.
They've done a lot of studies in different areas and industries where if you give a person a choice and you tell them like, hey, this is the direction that you have to go to or this is the product, most likely they're going to argue about it.
Mm.
But if you give them two or three options, they'll still choose the first one. So they say, if you want to get the most out of people, then you give them a choice.
Yeah.
Because when they lead with choice, now you can ethically, like you said, direct them onto something.
Yeah.
But the moment they have a choice available, they feel in control.
Exactly.
And the power of choosing makes them a winner.
Yeah.
But of course, with these whole psychological things, you can guide them. Also, when you spoke about value, like I followed this guy called Alex Hormozi.
Yeah.
And he's got an equation. It's called the value equation.
Yeah.
And for anyone who's listening, basically every time you're making an offer, or he calls them grand slam offers, you've got to look at this sort of equation. So one is your dream outcome on the top. Okay. Yep. So you have dream outcome, what's the biggest pain point, what the client wants, all of that.
Yep.
And then you have perceived likelihood of achieving it. So okay. If I told you like, hey, Mark, if you come train with me, within a month, I'll get you a six pack or I'll get you like 8 kgs of muscle and you can do it because like 10 other people have done it. So your perceived likelihood of achieving it is higher. And then you want to increase this in the offer. And then you want to decrease, which is on the bottom side, the time, because now time is more valuable than anything else. People want to do things fast, instant gratification, social media, all of these things. We're triggered by this.
Yeah.
So a lot of companies, they will charge a lot of money, but if they make it faster, people will still go with it. And then the second thing that you have on the bottom is effort and sacrifice. So if I can reduce any kind of, if I can tell you, Mark, listen, you don't have to do those push-ups. I'll attach a few electrodes on you and then it'll do the work for you. You're going to choose that. That's what happens in the weight loss industry, right? People are taking injections. You could do the same thing while doing yoga and going for a run, but like people would like to take injections. People would like to go for this body sculpting because there's no effort and there's the time delay isn't there. So interesting, like you said about value, and then this is the first thing that comes to my mind when I hear about this.
Everything is about values. Value. Everybody will... perceived value. So everybody will appreciate you more if you can bring value to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you can understand value is by understanding that person. And that's by asking questions, sitting with them, building rapport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Any other psychological or tricks that you have under your sleeve?
Yeah, there was, I would say not psychological, but more like I mentioned before, it's not what you say, but how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's actually five tones, okay, which we speak in. And I'm going to try and remember all of them now, okay? Yep.
But you can show us like what direction. You don't need to remember them.
Okay.
Yeah
so we've got, do I need to remember them?
Yeah, just whatever you can remember, just say that.
Okay. So we've got these five tones.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them being curious, some of them being challenging. Now, what you need to understand is, if I'm speaking to you and I want to come across as a person who's quite curious, but I'm speaking in a challenging tone, how are you going to perceive that? How are you going to feel as a client?
I'm not going to like it.
You're not going to like
it. I'm not going to like it.
This is it.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time, people... they're saying good things and they're speaking good things, but they're not understanding actually how they're saying it, how it's coming across to a client. Mm. So it's a case of going on this journey to actually have some self-awareness, self-reflection, and recording yourself. listening. If I, every training I go to, every event I go to, the main question I ask is, who here has recorded their calls? Who's actually listened to them? And people will say, oh, we've got a system and it does that. Have you listened to it? Well, no, I haven't. Or I listened to it once and I've not done anything with it again. The biggest, the only good way to get better is to actually listen to yourself and actually pick up on certain things you're saying and doing. Now, a lot of the time we don't want to do that because we don't like the sound of our own voice. Even though people send 5-minute voice notes these days on WhatsApp, yeah?
So annoying.
So annoying, exactly. But they don't want to listen to their own voice. But once they listen to it, there are two things they realize. All right, I can improve there. But the other one is, it wasn't that bad. Yeah, because we're down on ourselves so often. But what you're working out now is you're working out, all right, I'm saying the right words, but I'm actually not saying it in the right way. So that is a journey I highly recommend people to go on to really understand how it is being perceived by the person in front of you. Because one thing is, you shouldn't get too down about how you're making somebody feel, because you can't help everybody, okay? You can't help how other people feel about you in certain ways, but you can be aware of what you're saying. So if I didn't mean it in a bad way, if intentionally I didn't mean it in a bad way, then okay, I can't help you didn't get it, but at least I need to know that I've done my best to demonstrate it in the right way.
Do you recommend listening to your calls and then maybe asking one of your friends to rate you? Because a lot of the times, because of this whole confirmation bias, we think whatever we're doing is right. And then we're not able to look at the blind spots. Do you recommend like someone's wife or friend or whoever can like listen to it and just say like, hey, maybe here's something that you could improve on, whether this, or maybe they could tell them like, hey, did you think this conversation was more pushy, or did I sound curious? Because that's what I wanted to come across as. Can we bring in someone else to monitor our...
Well, there's a bias there as well, because if you ask them, hey, did I sound curious? In their head, they're going to be, is it pure? So you want to get somebody to do it in a blank canvas. Can you listen to this to me and let me know, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things? Can you reflect on that and let me know? Now, that's one thing. You know, I ask my mum a lot of things.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm the golden child. She won't ever say anything bad. Yeah. So I've got somebody to listen. It doesn't mean that I'm actually going to learn. So the best thing to do is to have somebody who has that experience and has been through that before and has gone through that cycle. So it's good to bring in an expert or somebody who has a knowledge. So somebody within your business, a colleague, a manager, somebody that's doing really, really well. And people say, well, they don't have time for me. Okay. That's what I hear a lot. They don't want to help me. But if you are coachable and you're willing to actually be open to change, then they will be willing to give you time and advice. Because people, they say, I want to change, but they don't. They just go back to how they were before.
Why do you think that happens? In the sales context, why do you think people are so strict about doing things their way? And like, let's say, for example, you go and you train someone and you offer a change or offer a different perspective on things.
Yeah.
Why are more people resistant to it?
Well, I think lots of the time it's being delivered the wrong way. Okay, so somebody's coming, you must do this, you must make this change. You must, like, it's the only way you're going to get better by doing this and this. If I spoke to you like that, how are you going to connect with me?
No, it's, you're all already in my mind. I feel like, yeah, there is a resistance to it because it's like an opposite, there's someone forcing something at you, and then you always want to, what's the right word, rebel against it. Because as humans, we like to rebel against things.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is the same with a client. They're working on a system and they've actually told me they're happy. Okay. But people don't know what they don't know. People don't know what they don't know. Yeah. And now I'm going to come in and I'm deliver some absolute gems. But what I have to do is I have to plant a seed in their head. And then they wake up one day and they go, oh, I've got this information. I like, this is actually going to make a change for me. And I have to, as a trainer or as a public speaker, whatever, I have to leave my ego at the door and be like, oh, you've done amazing. That's brilliant. Like, how did you come up with that? You know, I've seen it so many times with people where you've shared information and it's from some other random person that they end up referencing. And they would go, but I told you that. But they weren't ready to receive that information at that time. So a lot of people, they say that they want to help with their problems, but they actually don't. They just want to vent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've had that in the previous experiences with like relationships. Mm-hmm. I'm a problem solver. Mm-hmm. I want to help people. Mm-hmm. But sometimes people just want to be listened to so they can vent out. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how much you connect with a person just by sitting there and being quiet and mm-hmm. listening to them. And that's the same with a client. A lot, and I joke about this, you know, if I'm speaking to a man, I say, you know, for once he's being listened to. He goes home, his kids don't listen to him. He mm-hmm. goes home, his wife doesn't listen to him. I'm actually sat there
yeah.
and he feels like somebody's actually mm-hmm. taking the time to hear what he's going through. Mm-hmm. And that by itself can build a lot of opportunities for me.
You know, that's one of the common things that happens in therapy as well. Like most of the times, the therapist isn't really offering more solutions. They're just there.
Yeah.
You know, not having any bias, just listening to you, and you're just talking and talking. And I think a lot of the times thoughts, they manifest into emotions.
Yeah.
And then different areas of our body store that emotion. This is according to traditional Chinese medicine. This is their school of concept. Mm. And because we're not able to talk to someone, of course, as men, this happens even more because they say that men aren't, they don't open up to people, right? But once you start opening up to people, whether it's a friend, whether it's in therapy or whether it's anyone, then those emotions start to loosen up and they move away from your body.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, stress and disease that manifests later in life is actually accumulation of all of these thoughts, ideas, things that you were never able to share.
I agree.
But you mentioned something really interesting, which is ego. Now, do salespeople have ego? Because I just think that, you know, there's, when you think about sales and you think about like, you know, cold calling, yeah. for example, the amount of time people get rejected, if it's like a random product, man, like I think they have their egos in such check because imagine some, I can only imagine that some people are rude, some people are harsh, you know, yeah. you never know who you're going to find.
Yeah.
But like, how do you take all of that and then not let it affect your day? I think this is like a superpower as well that salespeople have.
Am I a bit shiny?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah? Cool. Yeah, sure.
See, we needed the makeup, you yeah. see? Thank you. I appreciate that.
Better?
Yeah.
Your lights are also very shiny. Okay, where do we start from?
Ego.
Yeah, ego. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. Yeah, you yeah. finished saying what you needed to say. That's why you stopped it.
Okay, so perfect. Then you
yeah.
start.
Yeah. Now I need to remember what to say. okay.
Ego and rejection.
Yeah.
And
all yeah, yeah. Good?
Three, okay. Two, one.
So when we talk about with ego, first of all, what I am processing in my head is, how is this person's day going? Mm-hmm. And it's the same in many things. I will have somebody that will vent at me, will be angry with me, will message me like, you know, why are you doing this content? Why are you doing it? Like, I think mm-hmm. to myself, what are they going through? Mm-hmm. So when I throw it the other way, I realize it's not about me. Mm-hmm. And I realize that I can actually get on with it. They're having a bad day. And actually, they don't mean to shout at me. Mm-hmm. They probably received another message beforehand. They probably mm-hmm. had a meeting with their boss and it probably went the wrong way. Whatever it is, I don't take it personally. Mm-hmm. I think to myself, have I done my learning today? Mm-hmm. Have I learned about the market? Have I learned about my product? Have I spoken with a lot of people today? When I'm doing that, I can then go to bed at night, mm-hmm. put my head down and go, I've done the best that I can do. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's a lot of people, and that's the difference between being successful mm-hmm. and actually making something mm-hmm. or not succeeding, because those people, they let it get to them and it ruins their whole day. Mm-hmm. It affects everything. You know, they're complaining about all this stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. And I always use this story, and I think it's a really good way. I'm driving on Sheikh Zayed Road and I'm driving to work, okay? Mm-hmm. I leave my apartment, I'm driving down the road and I'm about to turn on Sheikh Zayed Road. I come in within an inch mm-hmm. of hitting a person. Mm-hmm. I'm screeching, this person's literally almost going into me. Mm-hmm. It was their fault. I could have been killed, no mm-hmm. doubt about it, okay? Mm-hmm. I get out of the car, I'm screaming at the person, I'm so angry, I'm so annoyed, I'm so, you know, finally I calm down, I get in the car, I drive. My office at the time was in Media City. I get into the car park, there's security. I tell them about this accident almost happened. I get in the lift. Everybody that's in the lift, I'm telling them about this story. I get up to the office. Yeah, the secretary at the front desk, I've told her as well. Yeah, I get into the pantry. Everyone in the kitchen's knowing. I get to the desk. Everyone has to know about this guy, an absolute idiot of a man. Yeah, I get home. Yeah, not even, I've told my dog. I've told everybody that will listen to me, okay? I've not been able to do another thing. That other person, they just got in the car and drove on with their merry day. So two parts here. One is that don't let other people's things affect you. You got to just put it behind you and just go, have a moment and just get on with it. But another thing is as well, you've let someone control your whole day and that guy, that person has no care of that. They're not aware of that at all, but that person has controlled your whole day. So you have a choice. You can either join the pity party or you can learn from what you've done and go again.
Amazing. I love join the pity party. And a nice story.
Yeah, thank you.
I know a lot of people who do it, and that's why I was laughing even more, because now I can, you know, I had a flash of all these faces pop up in front of me.
Yeah.
But it would seem natural that a lot of people who are not aware that how this affects them, if they're not conscious enough that, you know, this, and it's not just one thing, right? This person might have crossed you on Sheikh Zayed, but there are other things at the grocery store, other events. And once you let all of these events compound, then you're heading towards a disaster. Either feel burnout, you know, mental health issues are going up. All of these things can come up because you're not processing one thing right.
Yeah.
And I love the way you put it. It's actually, in reality, both of the people are having a situation. It's just how you're perceiving reality. What's your lens on reality on that situation itself? Because that determines everything. And if you could be, you know, smart about it and have this growth mindset like you spoke about, where you're like, okay, what did I learn from this? Okay, can I move on?
Yeah.
And it's a lesson. How do you cultivate this sort of a growth mindset in people?
So everyone talks about the most important thing now is self-awareness.
Okay.
If you're self-aware, because everyone's going on this journey of emotional intelligence, okay? But there's two parts to emotional intelligence. One is awareness and the other is management. And people have forgotten about the management side. So I'm now aware of that. Oh, if somebody says something or does something to me, it upsets me and annoys me. I'm aware of that. That doesn't help me. I need to be able to manage it and have to go through that process. And this is the internal conversation I have with myself. And there's a lot of stuff, personal stuff that goes on in my life, most recently as well. What can I do about it right now? I can either go to bed and be upset about it, or I can go, right, that's probably another year away, really. What can I do about it now? There's only so much that I can do. So can I actually get on with this podcast today, doing this training I'm going to be delivering the next 2 days? Or I can curl up in my bed and not want to come out. You know, you have to be able to manage that. And I talk about it it's just like that. But that's a journey I've had to go on. And I have moments where it does... I get anxiety. Yeah. So a lot of people think anxiety is the jitters and it's like you had 10 coffees. Okay. For me, I just want to go to sleep. I get so tired and exhausted that, and it happens occasionally. I'd say every few weeks, I'll get that moment and then I have to go through the process. But sometimes the process is just shutting myself away and having the time to myself. And I guess one side I'm not fortunate because I don't have a family and kids, but on the other side I'm fortunate because I can do that. And a lot of people, they don't have that time. They get called selfish for having a moment to themselves. When you need it, you need that release.
Yeah, everyone processes emotions in a different way. For some people, they want to shout and, you know, tell the world or tell the person, at least if it's in a relationship. But a lot of people would want to go for a walk on the beach or just relax and just calm down. And again, for people who are listening to this, find out what's the best thing for you, because, you know, you can listen to Mark, you can listen to so many other people, but eventually you will have to try multiple things to figure out what's the best thing that resonates with you and then go on with that.
And the truth is, what you found was good for you last year might not be good for you now. You know, I always say, somebody says to me, you've changed. And I say, thank you. It's not a negative. You have to be changing with the times. So I'm very disciplined on certain things. Like I go to the gym in the morning, I go to the beach, I read, I do my prayers. Like I'd say 97% of the time I'm doing that. There's an occasional time when I won't do it, okay? But at times I've said to myself, well, am I like that now? Can I, or do I want to change my routine a bit? And some, I'm stubborn at times where I'm just going to stick with it, but sometimes it actually suits me better to change. So I like routine and that's what kind of gets me up. So the first thing I do in the morning, so simple, I make the bed and it's like a tick box exercise, you know? And then I honestly try to make this real conscious effort to not look at my phone, really, because what is going to be good there? I'm getting up about 5:30 in the morning. There's nobody there that really needs me at that time. That's why it's nice to get up at that time, because there's no one disturbing you. But you'll go like, oh, I need to post something on social media. I need to put a post out. And you go, oh, I'll post it. But then, oh, let me just scroll for a minute. And then 30 minutes later, you're still in bed. You're not got up, you know, and it's just like, oh. So you have to, again, it's the awareness and the discipline and the management.
It's interesting you talk about change, because change is the one thing that everyone has a negative connotation about, or their fear, or, you know, because the fear of the unknown, right? But change is the only constant thing that we have in life. In a lot of Eastern traditions, there is a, in Buddhism especially, there's a term called anicca, which means impermanence. That means what you were yesterday, you're not like that today. What you were a year ago, or like before, how CJ is, the kind of thing CJ knows about is different before CJ met Mark and had this podcast and learned from him. You're going to be different. We have about 37 trillion cells.
Okay.
Each cell of us is going through 100 million reactions every second. Wow. So our cells are changing by the second. The cells in our stomach lining are changing. You know, all these different skin cells are changing. So what you were a day or 2 days or a year before, you're not going to be the same. And the moment you start embracing that and you start changing for, I mean, of course, there's no good or bad, but like you've got to ask yourself, like you said, what's important now? And okay, if I want to be the best salesman, or I want to get that project, or I want to solve this person's problems, what's that one thing right now that I can do? Whether it is learning, whether it's talking to someone, whether it's researching, whether it's listening, which is something that you said really early on the podcast. And that's so interesting, because a lot of the times we have many people who just want to say things, and we get into this energy of like trying to impress people. And it's like, okay, who's got the, you know, back in the day it was like, oh, I've got so many cars and I've got this house, and everyone's trying to compete and show dominance. Now it's in the information or the knowledge space. You get into a party and then everyone's just trying to tell you like what they have done, but very rarely people take the time to listen and truly listen to what you're saying. And I think that's a superpower.
Well, when somebody's reaching out to you, if you're lucky enough, somebody reached out to you, in a business, a lot of the time, they're already 60% down the line of their decision making, which means they've already done a lot of research, which means a lot of the time, they actually know more than you do. Okay, so they've looked at your competitor, looked at all these different companies. So you actually saying more stuff to them really is actually not going to bring value to it. So what you want to do is you need to go in there and really listen to how that journey's been and what else you can understand, which is going to be a challenge for them. And again, how can I know what is a challenge for you if I'm just talking the whole time? I need to speak to you, sit with you, understand different parts of the business. You know, when I deliver my sales training, if they've got a product, a lot of the time I'll do like a secret shopper. I'll go to their shop, I'll go to the warehouse, I'll go wherever, and I'll pretend like I'm a client because I want to see what this is like. And then I'll put a report together, an insight report together. And even if we don't go ahead with the business, that's my added value. That's my value I want to give to them. Along the way down the line, they'll be like, oh, Mark actually helped us with this.
That's epic. That's like a hack. That's like one of those sales hacks.
Yeah.
I think if you get something out of this podcast, like go be a mystery shopper, check out what are the kind of pitfalls, and then provide your client with that sort of information. And again, you know, don't be super attached to if this person is going to work with me or not. Give your best. I think give your best in anything.
Well, because the thing is, again, I've sat with you and I want to understand more about what you see as being a problem. Now, you only see, you see one, two, and three. Mm-hmm. But I go to the store and I actually see four, five, six. So it's all well and good you saying to me you think you've got a problem, but you don't really know what it is. Mm-hmm. So when I go on this learning journey, actually, and here's something that I've learned really recently, is I would say the job of a salesperson is to be a problem solver, okay? But the real job of a salesperson is to be a problem finder. And we find the problem together, which a lot of people are like, oh, don't bring up problems. You're not going to be able to sell. No, I can only work out actually what's of value to you by seeing what you find challenging at the moment. And I find a problem with you by asking you questions and we go on this journey together. We solve this together. Great. Mm-hmm. You know, brilliant. So that's a journey that I've been on with that. Really just not going, oh, I'm a problem solver. No, like we're going to, I've always asked questions, but now I've got this, you know, this idea of me, like I'm a problem finder.
That's interesting. What is some of the more exciting things? What are you excited about in your life, in your training, whatever is happening around you? What's the next big thing?
So it's, you know, the people say like, it's quite boring actually. It's quite monotonous doing this stuff because I'm speaking to the same people and the majority got the same problems. Okay. But what I really love, and this is, you know, there's two parts. There's like the vision and there's the mission, okay? So the vision is that I want to be able to provide for others so they can, I want to be able to give people the skills and the tools needed so they can provide for themselves and others. I'm actually giving you a skill which you can apply and actually be something of yourself. And the other part is that the sales industry is on the floor, the difference between a salesperson and a sales professional. A sales professional works on themselves every single day to be the best that they can be. And that's why I asked the question, you know, what is the one thing you can control? And the only thing, do you want to have a go at that? What's the one thing you can control?
Your emotions, your energy, your anything that goes on internally.
You, that's it. Yeah. Nothing else is in your control. The market crashes, that's not in your control. The person that was the decision maker has now left the business. That's not in your control. So if I can internalize and go, have I done my learning? Have I done my product knowledge? Have I sharpened my sales skills? Have I stayed mentally and physically well? Because I turn up to a meeting and I don't look the part, then they're going to be like, well, there's a disconnect here. It's like the same as a personal trainer that's like 5 stone overweight, you know? They're like, what are you talking about here? So as long as I've gone through that journey, then I can accept if something's gone good or gone bad.
That's amazing. Mark, we can, I think we'll have to do like a part two or something sometime in the near future because we could keep on talking, but of course we have limited time today. Thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. I really appreciate you. Had so much fun, got to learn a lot of things. If I could put you in a time machine and send you a few years or decades back, you choose the time, okay?
Okay.
You can go back to your younger self and give yourself one piece of advice. What would that be?
It's a good question.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, it's a good question. You know, there's, on one hand, I want to say that there's a lot of mistakes I've made, but it's brought me to where I am now. And I think that is so important that you can just accept that, all right, I did something wrong then. But then it was the right feeling at the time. You know, I'll give you an example. Like I had a loss in my family. My brother passed away. Okay. And I decided after that, I wanted to do something different with work. And I was like, I left the company I was at and I loved the company I was at. And I was there for like 7 years. And when I look back now, I think to myself, why would I leave that job? And it was because I wasn't in the right state. I took on a lot of things like personally with family. I took a lot of weight on my shoulders and I wasn't able to digest kind of what went on. So I made these decisions not in the right frame of mind. So that's, again, I want to say like we make mistakes. But don't let it define us.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that?
Yeah. That's good. Okay. I'll take that for today.
Okay. Cool.
Where can people find more about you?
So, quite active on social media, Instagram, Mark Sclair Training, got a YouTube page, LinkedIn as well. LinkedIn up for a community of HR people as well. I speak with quite a lot of salespeople. Anyone that's looking to develop and take their journey from, I don't want to say being average, but at the moment, there's a lot of average people out there.
Yeah, average isn't cool. Step up your game.
Yeah, but the problem is greatness is like average these days. The steps to be a great person, you know, I heard this stat today, like we're both podcasters, okay? I don't want to ruin this part now, but he said 90% of podcasters record 3 episodes and they quit.
Yeah.
The other 10% record 20 episodes and they quit. It's like 1%. So we, as podcasters, that, you know, we are in that. And I don't feel I've done anything to the level I want to yet. That's what I mean. So when you're looking at others to get inspired by, be careful who those people are.
Amazing. It's congratulations on being the 1%.
Yeah, don't you? Congratulations.
We'll end with that.
Yeah.
That's Mark Sclair for you, everybody. And this is me, CJ, your host, signing out of the Shift with CJ podcast. Everyone have a great day, a great week, a great lifetime in front of you. Remember, if you made mistakes, you feel something wasn't right, accept it. Move on. Don't let it define you. Let this be your lesson. I'll see you in the next podcast.
Your time and presence with us through this podcast is highly appreciated. If you want to learn more, then head over to our website, www.shiftwithcj.com.